Hello, this is Carl with the Grace of God Talks to You Fellowship here in East Tennessee with my lovely wife this evening, and we are currently waiting on the Phillips family and Brother Mark Kennedy to join. They'll be along momentarily. I'll monitor here and so I can see whenever they join in by the grace of God, and looking for another brother who God has been so gracious to bring into my life recently, a brother named Aaron, who posts some really good teachings by the grace of God. Lord God has really gifted Aaron to open up the scriptures and proclaim his truth by the grace of God, all for the glory of Jesus Christ. And maybe he will be along tonight with us. So definitely looking forward to that by the grace of God. Aaron, he has his own YouTube channel, and it's called From Darkness to Light. And he really does some good teachings by the grace of God on salvation by through faith and biblical cosmology or circular earth. Let me just unmute Brother Larry. He's here now.
Only a few more years. Jesus, my heart's dear refuge. Jesus has died for me. Firm on the rock of ages, ever my trust shall be. Here with patience, wait till the night is o'er. Wait till I see the morning break on the golden shore. Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love or shade, sweetly my soul shall rest.
Okay, the next one we're going to sing is, hi, Brother Carl. How are you doing?
Doing well, Brother Scott. How about you, Brother Mark Phillips, Sister Rosette?
Hello, Babs. 161, how firm a foundation. This is taken from Isaiah 43, verses 2. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent work. What more can he say than to you he has said? You who unto Jesus for refuge have fled, in every condition, in sickness, in health, in poverty's veil, or abounding in wealth, at home and abroad, on the land, on the sea, as thy days may be man, shall thy strength ever be. Fear not, I am with thee, O be not dismayed, for I am thy God, and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous omnipotent hand. When through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of woe shall not thee overflow. For I will be with thee, thy troubles to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee, I only design thy cross to consume and thy gold to refine. Even down to old age, all my people shall prove my sovereign, eternal, unchangeable love. And when hoary hairs shall their temples adorn, like lamps they shall still in my bosom be born. The soul that on Jesus still leans for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake.
Okay, the last one we're going to sing is
Psalm. It's on page 1053, and it's taken from Psalm 102, verses 1 through 3. Do this my prayer, O listen, God, and let my cry for help reach you. In day every, hide not your face, your listening ear for me, O Ben. The day I call, your answer send. For all my days go up in smoke, and like a hearth my bones are burned. Like rest my heart is crushed and dry. I daily food from God's in hand. My skin and bones together plead. With sighs and groans my frame resounds. I'm like a wilderness pelican, but I can now in desert's waste. I lie awake on the roof, a sparrow stands alone aloof. All day my foes they come to me, but filled with anger curse my name. My food with tears and anxious mix, for you on me in anger frown. You raise me up to throw me down, an evening shadow are my days. Like grass I wither soon away. But you are sent in from forever your memorial, so your generation all.
Okay. We've got quite a good group of people that have joined us already on Facebook. I want to welcome aboard Ashley Kinney from the Flat Pancake. And I also want to welcome Howard Jett, Batesville, Arkansas, Mark Kennedy, and all the rest that will be joining us. And we also have Mark Kennedy over on the YouTube side, kind of manning that for us as well. And are with Mark and Carl on YouTube. So I'm going to turn it over to Brother Mark tonight. He's going to be doing the kind of the moderating on the continued study in John. Mark, are you with us?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay.
All right, very good. How are we doing tonight, Saints?
Doing well.
Good, good. Right when I came on YouTube, I saw you do a quick brush over, and I said, yes, you still got some trees on the mountain there, Brother Larry.
Yeah, you caught me, brother. Caught me red-handed.
I caught you. All right, well, praise God, saints. Good evening, Brother Carl, Sister Babs. How we doing? Hi, Mark. Hi, Rosette.
Hello. Doing well, by the grace of God. Doing well. Just a quick heads up. I got an email earlier from Aaron, who has the YouTube channel From Darkness to Light. He was actually with us, not this morning, but the last talk show we did on Thursday in the YouTube, YouTube with us. And he said to me that he's going to start joining us as often as he can. Whenever I sent him the link to the talk show tonight to RSVP, he put that he might join us tonight. So if he does join us, I'm going to make sure that he's unmuted. That way maybe he can fellowship with us. He's really, by the grace of God, doing some excellent teachings thus far on his YouTube channel. And I would encourage anybody at this point to go check him out. Again, his YouTube page or his YouTube channel is called From Darkness to Light. And he preaches by the grace of God, salvation by grace through faith. And he holds to the biblical creation as revealed to us in Scripture. And he proclaims that salvation is of the Lord and that we have absolutely nothing to do with it. So I just wanted to make that announcement right quick before we got started.
Oh, that's
wonderful.
Good news. Great.
That is good news. Yes, we welcome new members with open arms. That's wonderful. All right. Well, let's see. I'm going to do John chapter 13 tonight. We've got 38 verses. Brother Larry, did Mark want to read something of it tonight, or is it just going to be you, me, and Carl?
Well, he already did his reading, and so he thinks he's through. So I guess it'll just be me and you and Carl tonight.
All right, very good. So let's see here. So that'll be about 13 verses each. So I'll start off and I'll do the first 13 verses, and then we can do our bits, and then we'll do the next, and then we'll just go with the flow and see how the Lord has us by the Holy Spirit, you know, play it out. And I have, about an hour ago, after I had read some commentary on John 13, I always pray and ask the Lord to loose my tongue, to speak his word into the air directly for his glory alone. So, all right, I will start by just saying thank you again, saints, for being with us tonight. May God bless you and take care of you. He will. All right, so I guess I'll start, do the first 13 verses here. Let's see. Okay, so I'll do verses 1 to 13, and then we can do our commentaries, and then we'll just follow the lead of the Holy Spirit and see how it works. Praise God. All right. John chapter 13 in the Authorized King James Version. Verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Verse 2. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. Verse 4, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. Verse 5, after that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Verse 7, Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Verse 8, Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, verse 9, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Verse 10, Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. Verse 11, For he knew who should betray him, therefore he said, Ye are not all clean. Verse 12, So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? And then verse 13, Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. Okay, this is very instructive what we see here in John chapter 13. Here in verse 1, right before the feast of the Passover, and Jesus knew that his hour was come. It was the time that he should depart from this world back to God the Father. and he loved his own which were in the world, having loved his own which were in the world. He loved them. He didn't love them and stop loving them. He loved them unto the end. And that means not only the time that he left the earth, but unto the end of this world, when we're going to come into heaven and be with him forever. Jesus' love is eternal. We are eternally loved in Christ, and that is a wonderful anchor for the soul when we face the trials and tribulations of this evil world that we have to journey through like a pilgrim. So, verse 2, we see supper was over, and the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray him. So that was finalized, right? That was finished in that decision. The devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. So here in verse 3, Jesus knew that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. Yep, that's right. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God, and he went back to God. Verse 4, he rose after supper, and he laid aside his garments, and he took a towel and wrapped it around himself. And in verse 5, he poured water into a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that he wrapped around himself. This is a wonderful example of Jesus leading by example. He is our leader, and he gives us the example that we are to follow. Isn't that wonderful? Now here in verse 6, Simon Peter, he put up an initial protest. Lord, dost thou wash my feet? He didn't get it right away. And Jesus had to explain to him in verse 7, what I'm doing right now, you won't understand, but later you'll understand. You'll understand later. So relax, just go with it. Verse 8, Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Peter became a little indignant at that point, apparently. And look at what Jesus said to him. If I wash you not, then you have no part in me. I believe that could have a spiritual and a physical interpretation. I'll focus on what I perceive as the spiritual interpretation, and that is that Jesus must, when we become the Lord's property, which is what we are, we must be washed from sin. And that is the spiritual aspect that I see here. If Jesus, when we become realized as one of the Lord's elect, if Jesus doesn't wash our sin away, then we have no part with him. So that's the spiritual aspect that I see here of verse 8. And then moving along in verse 9, Simon Peter says to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And so Peter wanted to, continue with what the Lord had started. And here in the next verse, verse 10, Jesus explains to him that it's not necessary, looking at it in a physical way, that, because they didn't have all kinds of fancy shoes like we do today back then. They only had sandals, and they didn't have paved sidewalks and everything. There was a lot of dust floating around. And when you're tromping down an unpaved road, a lot of dust gets on your feet. So look what Jesus says. He said, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. Now, we know that's a reference to Judas Iscariot there. So verse 11, he says, for he, Jesus, knew who should betray him. Therefore, he said, ye are not all clean. So, and then in verse 12, it says, so after he'd washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done unto you? And then I'll finish off with the last verse of my segment here in verse 13. Jesus continues talking to them. He says, ye call me master and Lord, and ye say well, for so am I. Take it, Brother Carl. Praise God, brothers.
Amen. Well, we're told in verse 1 here, at the latter half of the verse, it says, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And just as you were saying, Brother Mark, this is talking about his elect, having loved his own, the ones all that the Father had given him, shall come to him, and him that cometh to me, I will nowise cast out. I won't go through every verse here. I'll touch on verse 8 here by the grace of God. It says, Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Peter, he didn't understand, all right? And he loved Christ so much and had so much respect for Jesus Christ, all right, that he was not going to allow the Savior of the world to wash his feet, all right? And he didn't. This is what he's saying here. Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And, of course, the Lord God here, you know, he, like we see in Scripture over and over and over again, all right, that we as human beings can't see unless we're taught of God. And Christ here is speaking about salvation and the atonement that he's going to perform, that he's going to carry out, that was established from before the world began and executed on Calvary on behalf of his elect. And if he doesn't wash us but with his blood and present us clean before God, we have no part with him. This is what he's teaching Peter here. But what I really want to focus on in this whole chapter here is really what really blows my mind is the fact that Christ, he washed Judas Iscariot's feet as well. All right. And knowing, like we see here, who would betray him. I mean, we're told this in verse 2, and supper being ended, the devil hath now put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. All right, Christ knew that Judas Iscariot would ultimately betray him. All right, and this is so incredible to me. And we're given clear instruction here by the act of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ of him washing Judas Iscariot's feet as well, just like the other disciples. You know, we're told by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that, you know, what he says is that it's easy to love them that do good to you. All right. I mean, anybody can do that. What is good about that? Anybody can do that. But to love someone, to pray for someone, your enemies that spitefully use you. All right. That is what separates a Christian from the rest of the world. And here we are given this clear teaching by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the fact that he washed the feet of the one that would betray him, the one that he purposed to betray him from before the foundation of the world. I'm reminded of a scripture that says, "The rain falls on the just and the unjust." Yeah. And I think as well, here's a clear example of that. And with that, I'll just turn it over to Brother Larry.
Well, I'm sure glad that you took up the subject of Judas, because it is a very principal part of this particular chapter. And, you know, you really nailed it. You know, there's a lot of spiritual significance here. Regarding even verse 2, where it says, notice this kind of backs up what Carl talks about, that the devil is not God's rival, because the devil, having now put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, the devil merely caused Judas Iscariot, was the instrument to bring out the fulfillment of prophecy.
Amen.
He was an instrument in that. And also, the interesting thing about verse 8, Peter said, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "If I wash thee not, hast thou no part with me." I believe that he was, like Brother Mark said, I think the most important thing is the spiritual significance of that. I guess the question that I would ask, like Brother Carl said, even though he washed Judas's feet, he didn't wash Judas, did he? Not spiritually. That's why Judas did not have any part with Jesus, because Jesus did not wash him spiritually.
Right.
You know? And then also, you know, it's interesting because a lot of people, you've heard the saying, some of the old Baptists used to say, you go down a wet sinner and you come up a wet sinner, okay?
Yeah.
Just because you go into the waters of baptism, that does not mean that Jesus has washed away your sins. And that, I think that this scripture, this verse 8, is applicable as well as to baptized unregenerate people. If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. If Christ has not washed away your sins, all the baptismal waters and the greatest baptismal fonts in the world aren't going to mean whit.
Right.
And so, anyway, that's really a good point you're making there. One of the things that we see in the 41st chapter of Psalms, in the 9th verse, I find this really interesting, because this 41st chapter is speaking of Jesus Christ. This is speaking of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's as if the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking in this psalm. In verse 4, he said, "I said, Lord, be merciful unto me, heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Mine enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish?" Well, we know that Christ was without sin, but Christ took on all of the sins of his elect. And as we go on down through here, we see in verse 7, "All that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise my hurt. An evil disease, they say they, cleaveth fast unto him, and now that he lieth, he shall rise up no more." In other words, they were already proclaiming that he was not going to raise from the dead. And then in verse 9, again, it's as if Christ is speaking, "Yea, my own familiar friend," speaking of Judas, "in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. But thou, O Lord, be merciful unto me, and raise me up, that I may requite them," speaking of his resurrection. "But this I know, that thou favorest me, because mine enemy doth not triumph over me." And so then he concludes that out, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting." And that kind of reaffirms what is said in the first verse of chapter 13. He loved them unto the end, an everlasting salvation. I'll turn it back to you guys.
Thank you, Brother Larry. That was a good reference to the other scripture there. That was very good. All right, well, now if I could ask dear Brother Carl so kindly, could he please read verse 14 down through verse 26 for us? Thank you, dear Brother Carl.
Yes, sir, 14 through 26. And I see that Aaron, Brother Aaron, has joined us on YouTube. And I just wanted to say to him, it's good to have you. And if you would like to call in to the talk shoe and you know, and get in on this and make any comments, you're more than welcome to do so. So with that, I'll carry on with By the Grace of God, verses 14 through 26.
Welcome, Aaron. Thank you.
And of course, yes, sir. And of course, this is the authorized King James Bible only. None of those other corrupted versions. All right, here we go. Verse 14. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if you do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spoke. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Oh, wow. This is just incredible. You know, despite what false prophets like Dean Old will say, that it was not a foredrawn conclusion that Judas Iscariot would betray Christ, we're taught very, very contrary to what that wicked false prophet says. And it's not hard to dispute false prophets. All we got to do is go to the inspired Word of God, the King James Version of the Bible, or actually, I just refer to it now, by the grace of God, the King James Bible, because it's the only Bible. All right? Yeah. All right? It's the only one. All right? To disprove false prophets. So all we have to do is go to Scripture, and we see very, very clearly here that it was a foredrawn conclusion that Judas Iscariot would betray him. All right. Now, in verse 14, it says, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. Because he tells us in verse 15, for I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. All right. And this is a lesson to us and an example of brotherly love and loving the brethren. All right. Loving one another. All right. I mean, look at how our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ instructs us and gives us this example. He says in verse 16, verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Now, I can remember when I was a kid going to this Pentecostal church at the time. They had this foot washing ceremony and everybody came and people wash one another's feet. And, you know, I think that they missed the whole point of it. You know, people take this and turn it into a work, but this is a lesson that goes far beyond physically washing someone else's feet. This is an act of brotherly love. All right. And this only occurs. All right. By the grace of God. And we can only do this, right, by the grace of God. You know, we're told elsewhere in Scripture, I think it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 or 14. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong. All right, the Apostle Paul is addressing the Corinthian church, and it was an absolute disarray. Women preachers, all right, people speaking in vain, babbling and calling it tongues, all this nonsense. And Paul said, speak with the tongues of angels, all right, and you know, or if I have the gifts of prophecy and all these gifts of the Spirit, all right, and do not possess charity, all right, which is what we're shown here by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then I have nothing. Then all these gifts that I possess are useless because I don't have the love of Christ in me. All right. And I believe that this is what we're being shown here. And in verse 18, all right, it says, and I love this, you know, the sovereignty of God is declared from the front of the Bible to the back of it. All right. And but every time I read a scripture like this that is so in your face, all right, that is so in our face, that just declares the absolute sovereignty of God as a believer, as a sinner, saved by the grace of God. All right. That I know I don't deserve it, and I deserve to die and go to hell. All right. And it's only because he has purpose to show me mercy that I want. All right. And this is what we're shown here, you know, in verse 18. I speak not of you all. I know whom I've chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. I mean, what an perfect illustration of the sovereignty of God in all things. In the choice of whom he would and would not save, because he's not required to save anyone. We don't deserve any of it. All right.
Right.
But he knows his sheep. All right. He has vessels of mercy and he has vessels of wrath fitted for destruction. And we see this here in Judas Iscariot. He says, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now, I tell you before it come that when it has come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Whenever we go proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, all right, people aren't receiving us, all right? They are receiving our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and in turn, receiving God Almighty, all right? If they believe, all right, this is after the divine purpose of God Almighty. And all that he has given to the Son will come to him and believe in him. And that's what we're being shown here. All right. So it's not about us going out into the world like we've talked about before. And like Aaron talked about it on a video that he did earlier today. All right. It's not about us going out into the world and engaging people in apologetics. All right. And making the cross of Christ none effect with the so-called wisdom of men. And the traditions of men like Jeff Durbin and James White and Ravi Zacharias, who claims Joyce Meyer is a great Bible teacher. All right. That's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to go out by the grace of God and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Christ is all. All right. And if these and all that are ordained to eternal life will believe, and they are receiving God himself, because he's purposed it that way, and salvation is his work. We go on to see here that, once again, very, very clearly here, all right, that it was a foregone conclusion, all right, that Judas Iscariot would betray our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're told elsewhere in Scripture, haven't I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? And we're shown clearly here that Christ, all right, in verse 26, Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when Jesus had dipped the sop, he gave it into Judas. He gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And we see here in those verses here, verses 22 down through 26, we see the image of the painting that Leonardo da Vinci, I think it was, is very, very famous for. All right. And people look at that picture and they think that that's the way things really looked. You know what I mean? They look at this piece of artwork and they think that that's how things really looked. But here is those verses in which we get the painting by Da Vinci, I think it was, of the Last Supper.
Yeah.
And we see here in verse 26, and I'll turn it over to Brother Larry. Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I dipped it. And when he dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. All right. Christ gave it to him because it was purposed by God Almighty, all right, by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that it would be Judas Iscariot that would betray him. And I'll turn it over to Brother Larry.
Very interesting. Very good. Very good. I also want to give a hearty welcome to Brother Aaron and And he says he would like to at some time join us on the phone in the near future. And I just want to let him know that he's welcome at any time to join us. We always look forward to fellowship with others of like faith. We're scattered. We're a remnant. We're all over the place. So it's kind of nice when we find people that are, you know, upholding the Word of God. I also tonight want to welcome aboard Sister Babs, also my son Mark Phillips and my lovely wife Rosette. I also want to welcome Howard Jett from Batesville and Mark Kennedy, who's with us tonight, and also Ashley and Bashira Shalion from Nazareth has joined us. Welcome aboard, Bashira, and also Lynn and Anna. And also, I would like to say hello to Mula Mazui Anthony. And I think I already mentioned Anna Marie Delindo Manilow and Linroy Mill. So we welcome all of you who have joined us. And yes, this is a significant statement here that we find in this 26th verse. Jesus answered, "He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it." And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Well, you know, this gives me absolute evidence, absolute proof positive, that God is involved in every infinitesimal detail of our lives. Okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, even down to when Satan entered him.
Amen.
Says after he gave him the saw, you know? I mean, and you can't read the life of Joseph without seeing this all the way through Joseph's life. The providential hand of God in the most intricate details. You know, just think about tonight as we've started this broadcast and how things have developed and how we've got into this word and who has said what and when. You know, it reminds me, if we just flip back real quickly to the 16th verse, it's Christ speaking, and he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him." I know that Brother Mark and Brother Carl have experienced this like I have. I have heard so many ministers of the gospel, and they almost act like they are the master and God is their servant. They start ordering God around. I command you to do this in the name of Jesus and all of this stuff. You know what? Jesus Christ himself recognized his own position in relation to his Father. He recognized that he was sent to do the will of his Father. And, you know, so you have these people out here. They don't have a clue about what their relationship should be in relationship. Even if you look at it from the standpoint of the creator to the, you know, to the created being, they don't even understand. They don't even have an awesome respect for God in that. And so that is very significant to me. You know, the other thing that I like a lot about this is, notice in the 21st verse, anytime I see the word shall, you know, they call some of the old Baptists hard shells because they always find scriptures with the word shall in it, okay? Well, it is significant to look at when you read scripture. When you have the word shall, that means unequivocally, absolutely, without question, okay? And here's what he says. Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. He didn't say it might be possible Judas might execute his free will and not betray me. He did not say, you know what, it's a possibility that one of you might just happen to betray me. No. It's like Brother Carl said, it was already a foregone conclusion. It was already, we already read, you know, in Psalms, the passage. It was already foretold, and Scripture had to be fulfilled. It would have been an impossibility. Have you ever thought about this? It would have been an impossibility for Judas not to have betrayed Jesus. Impossible. As much as it was an impossibility for Adam and Eve to have not eaten of the tree of the Garden of Eden. As much as it was an impossibility for Lucifer not having fallen. Okay? Absolutely impossibility. So,
amen.
Anyway,
amen.
That's kind of my thoughts. Go ahead, guys.
And just real, and just real quick, brothers, if you don't mind. Exactly. And it was only after the moment that Christ deemed it would happen. All right. When he dipped the sop and gave it to him, that Satan entered into him. All right. And then Jesus said unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Because Satan is not God's rival, he's God's devil. And this was all after the divine will of God Almighty.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Very good. Very good. Okay, well, let's see. All right, so here in verse 14, we pick it up here in verse 14. And we left off in verse 13 where Jesus says, you call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. And then he continues here in verse 14. And this is Christ giving us a holy and righteous example to follow. He says, if I, then, your Lord and Master, referencing verse 13 that we already went through, if I, then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. And I don't think he's meaning, you know, a literal act like washing feet per se, but he's referencing just the general that we are to be of service to those whom we call brothers and sisters in the household of faith. It could
Amen.
Be what it could be a literal example of washing the feet, but it is, I believe, that he's referring to just generally being of service to our brothers and sisters in the household of faith. What do you guys think?
Oh, I think you're right. I think that the, you know, so much of Scripture, like you have stated, Brother Mark, it has multiple meanings. You know, there's physical meanings to it. There's spiritual meanings to it. There's, you know, and so when, you know, I had a guy tell me one thing one time that has been very helpful to me over the years. And I've shared it with Brother Mark before, and that is whenever you're interpreting Scripture, especially if there's Old Testament Scripture involved, okay, if there's, in, like for an example, if there's any prophetic utterances or if there's any foretelling of what is going to happen in the Old Testament, you always interpret Scripture in light of the New Testament, not the Old Testament. Okay?
Right. Very good.
And the reason being is because we are under the new covenant. We're under the New Testament, and so we can properly interpret it. But no, you raise a very interesting question there. I'd be interested in Brother Carl's take on that question.
Thank you, Brother Larry. Okay, did you want to say something for a second, Brother Carl, before I continue?
No, sir. You can go. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. Right, very good. Okay, so Jesus is leading us by example, and he says, you know, that if, you know, that I have washed your feet, and you also ought to wash one another's feet. Now, verse 15, he's continuing. See, he says, for, and this is precisely what I'm saying here. He says, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you. And this is exactly my point, that Jesus is our example, and we are to emulate not the world and the unbelief of the world, but we are to emulate our leader who led by example, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so he continues in verse 16, you know, truly I tell you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, and neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. So this is a hierarchy of command here. The one who sends someone, the Father in this case, who sent Jesus, is greater than the one who was sent. So this is what we see exactly in this verse 16 here. So we're going to move on now. In verse 17, he says, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. I'm reminded of that other scripture about being a doer of the word. Blessed is he who is not a hearer of the word only, but a doer also, I think is how it goes, if I'm not mistaken. So Jesus is telling us here in verse 17 that we see, we have the example of Jesus' leadership and service to the household of faith. And when we do these things, we are blessed and happy. If you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Now, here in verse 18, he's going to do something. He's going to make a reference here to who, he's going to make a beginning reference here to who it was that has been appointed and ordained. This is, Judas was appointed and ordained for this very purpose, the same way Pharaoh was appointed and ordained to be an instrument of revelation of the glory of the Lord in the earth. In verse 18, he says, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now that phrase, lifted up his heel, that's a reference to coming against one who is the truth, which is Christ, of course. Now, verse 19, he says, now I'm telling you this before it comes, so that when it happens, you will believe that I am he. And so in verse 20, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. And here in verse 21, we're moving along here. When Jesus had thus said this, he was troubled and in his spirit, and he testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Verse 22, then the disciples, they looked on one another, doubting of whom he spake. It made them wonder, oh, I hope he's not talking about me. I hope that's not the case, you know. In verse 23, now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Verse 24, Simon Peter, therefore, beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. And then in verse 25, he then, lying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, Lord, who is it? And then here we go in verse 26. And just a little reference. I looked this up. A sop is a piece of hard food like bread dipped in liquid food like broth. So a sop is it most likely was a piece of bread dipped in broth. And so in verse 26, Jesus answered Peter's question here. Jesus answered, "He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it." And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. All right. Well, very good.
Brother
and I believe, have we
Brother
all
Mark.
Given our commentary on the middle part here?
Yeah, Brother Mark.
Sure. Yes.
We have a guest in here. I'm not sure who it is, but it's guest number 6. And they make a couple of statements here, and I wanted to read their statements and just get you brothers' comments, and then I can comment on it if it's something that you would like to address. So there's
sure.
so there's two statements here, and the first one is washing feet refers to the subconscious mind. Beliefs reside in the subconscious mind. A washing of the feet is the same symbol of baptism. To wash means to clean, in other words, remove flesh, consciousness, error. Sounds like some New Age crap to me. Now we have another one that says, "I wonder why people pray to Jesus when clearly Jesus said, don't pray to me. And further, he said, I in myself can do nothing." So would you like to respond to that before I do?
Oh, wow, that's interesting. Wow, I'm not sure how to respond on that one, so I'll just let you handle that, Brother Carl. Go for it.
Brother Larry?
Well, I think that, first of all, I don't know where guest 6 gets the idea that washing feet refers to subconscious mind. First of all, you know, the definition of subconscious mind in Webster's dictionary does not have a spiritual connotation at all. A person can have subconscious thoughts and be dead spiritually. And so I think that's a misappropriation of what washing feet refers to. Now, I believe that it was properly stated that washing feet can be either physically washing one's feet, or there can be a spiritual connotation that Brother Carl's already brought to our attention, and that is that we are displaying the act of servanthood. Okay. The other thing you say is baptism means to wash clean. In other words, to remove flesh, remove conscious error. For consciousness error. Again, I don't know where you're getting that from. It's certainly not from the Bible, because baptism is, according to the Bible says, it is a confession before men that a person has believed on the Lord Savior Jesus Christ. And it's, you know, as Christ went down into the water and came up out of the water, It's a sign and seal of the new covenant of the new life. Okay, and then the second question, I wonder why people pray to Jesus when clearly Jesus said, don't pray to me, and further he said, I myself can do nothing. Well, first of all, I'll take the second part first. The reason Jesus said, I and myself can do nothing is because he was affirming the nature of the Godhead, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It would be impossible for Jesus to do anything of himself, because the Trinity is never separate. The Son is never separate from the Father, and the Father is never separate from the Son. He said, I and my Father are one. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In the first part of your second question, I wonder why people pray to Jesus. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I don't have any problem praying to Jesus. However, Jesus taught his disciples, saying, say, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So that's my quick my quick answer, I'll shoot it back to Brother Carl.
All right, guest six, you are unmuted if you would like to respond, and I would like for you to give me a chapter and verse and book where Jesus says not to pray to him. And I won't be ugly to you, I promise. Okay, well, I guess you're not interested in dialogue. That's perfectly okay. I don't want you to think that we're being ugly to you. You know, but you know, you're this error that you're coming in here with, it must be addressed for the sake of your immortal soul. All right, if you hold to this New Age stuff, and this is what this flesh consciousness era crap is, wherever you are, you're going to die in your sins and perish in eternal fire. So I don't want you to think that I'm trying to be ugly to you. All right. I'm wanting to address your concerns. Now, Brother Larry Phillips, by the grace of God, has really done an excellent job. And I really don't think I could add anything to that. So with that, I'll turn it back over to you guys. But I just wanted to bring this up because this person had commented.
Thank you, Brother Carl, for taking a moment to address this situation. Yeah, I wasn't sure how to respond, and I do agree with you. The whole idea of what he's expressing kind of sounds off to me. Yeah, I'm in agreement with you, brothers. All right, well, that being taken care of, I would ask now our dear Brother Larry would start at verse 27 and finish out the chapter to the end where verse 38 is. Thank you, brothers.
Okay. Okay, well, 27. And after the sop, Satan entered unto him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. I'll just make comments as I read. Isn't that interesting, because Christ has already told him beforehand that the one that he is going to betray him is the one that whom he's going to give the sop to. Okay? This just shows that God doesn't always reveal everything all at once to us.
That's
right. See this. You can also see this in the account of the disciples. After Christ rose from the dead, remember when they were on their way to Emmaus and they were talking to Jesus, and then Jesus just disappears from them, and they said, didn't our hearts burn within us? He spoke of all the prophets, all this, and then all of a sudden it was revealed to them that it was Jesus they were talking to. Anyway, all right. I also find it interesting that he says, that thou doest, do quickly. In other words, don't let any dust grow under your feet. You know, let's get this out of the way. That's the way I take it.
Yeah.
Okay. Some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, verse 29, that Jesus had said to him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Because Christ had not yet ascended to heaven. But what Jesus is saying here is, in the course of events, when Satan entered Judas, and Judas went out to do what he would do, he would do beyond, he shall do, okay, then at that point, Jesus states this to the disciples. Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, you cannot come. Now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. This just absolutely reinforces what Brother Carl has said yet this morning and this evening, that
1 Corinthians 13, though I speak the tongues of men and have not charity, I am nothing. I become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And now what? This is what Christ is reaffirming. In 35, he says, by this ye shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, whither goest thou? You know, every time that I see Peter open his mouth, here's what goes into my mind. There he goes again. You know, the reason I can laugh at Peter is because I'm so much like Peter. How many times have I stuck my foot in my mouth? I know that leather does not taste very good, okay? Anyway, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why can I not follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Now, that's a really interesting comment by Peter, because in reality, in finality, Peter did lay his life down for his sake. He didn't do it immediately, but he was, in finality, he was hung up on a cross upside down. Okay? Now, it's really interesting what Christ's response is to Peter, because he said, you know, notice Christ did not say, you're not going to lay down your life for my sake. He didn't say, you're not going to do it. He asked him a question. He said, will I lay down my life for my sake? And now he goes back from the question to what's going to happen in the very near future, not down the road. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. But Jesus Christ never said that Peter would not lay down his life for his sake. He asked him the question. And that's why I believe that later on, after all of these events and after Peter's denial, that's why Jesus asked him three times, Peter, lovest thou me? Peter, lovest thou me? And we noticed that what Peter said, you know all things, you know that I love you. So that's my thoughts on that. I'll turn it back to you guys.
All right. Well, praise God. Okay, so we pick it up here in verse 27, where in the very previous verse, Jesus answered Peter's question here of namely being, who is it that's going to betray him? And Jesus in verse 26 answered and said, it is he, the one who I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. So then here in verse 27, Jesus does exactly that. And then we see Satan entering Judas. So verse 27, and after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest quickly. In other words, whatever you're going to do, get on with it. You know what I mean? So now verse 28, now no man at that table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. In verse 29, for some of them thought that because Judas had the bag, meaning the money bag, he was in charge of the money, that Jesus said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. Now, here in verse 30, he, meaning Judas, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was nighttime. Verse 31, therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. His hour has finally come. Remember back in John 3 that we did a couple of months ago, where the woman asked, where the woman asks the wedding Jesus at the wedding, we ran out of wine, and Jesus said, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour has not yet come." So I think she probably wanted Jesus to work some kind of miracle or do something about it. But now here in verse 31 of John chapter 13, he says, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. His hour has finally come. So verse 32, it says, if God is glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway or right away glorify him. Verse 33, he tells us, his children, little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you. And verse 34, he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Another instance where Jesus gives us an example to follow, that as he loved us, so we are to love one another. And that's what we're doing here. Every time we come here to put the word of God out into the airwaves, we are supporting one another in the unity of faith that we have, and we are, in fact, loving one another as we mutually co-labor in the harvest field of the Lord, putting the word of the Lord out into the airwaves. And so then verse 35, here is the proof of discipleship that will be evident to the world. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Verse 36, here's Simon Peter again. Like you said, Brother Larry, there he goes again, asking another question. Verse 36, Simon Peter then said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. In other words, he said to Peter, I'm going now, but you can't. Your time to come with me is not yet. It'll be later, so just relax and go with the program. Okay, so then verse 37, Peter said unto him, Lord, why? So he's not satisfied. And like you said, Brother Larry, there he goes again, asking another question and not being satisfied with Jesus' initial answer. So Jesus has to take more time to set Peter straight. And that's right. We are just like that sometimes, aren't we, Brother Larry and Brother Carl? Yep. Verse 37, Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? Why, Lord, why? I will lay down my life for thee, for thy sake. I think Peter's got a little overestimation of his own spiritual abilities. In other words, his ego is a little bit too big for his britches there. And so, verse 38, finishing out the chapter, Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? He's asking him. He said, and then he sets him straight with something that's going to happen here. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me three times. All right, take it, Brother Carl, and close us out.
Amen. Yeah, I'd like to apologize to Brother Larry first, because I think he asked to get my thoughts on a scripture earlier, but I was moderating and I was looking at the comments and I sort of lost my train of thought there for a minute. So I'm sorry there, Brother Larry. I would like to address what you brought up.
That's no problem, man.
We all get brain farts from time to time.
Yeah, amen. And I wanted to speak to my dear. I do all the time, brother. So all the time. And I wanted to speak to my dear brother Ashley Kenny, way over there in the land down under. Brother Ashley, you sure have been a blessing to me, brother. And every time I see you comment on one of my videos and encourage me, I just want you to know by the grace of God that it really means a lot to me. And without Jesus Christ, you know, I can do nothing. You know, none of us can. And It's all for his Amen. Glory, but I just want to thank Brother Ashley for his encouragement, and because it really does mean a lot to me. And yeah, verse 33 here, I love how he calls us little children. I love how he speaks to us. He says, little children, yet a little while I'm with you, shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, and truly we are like children, because we can do nothing. We are helpless. Right. We're helpless. Yep. So without him, we can do nothing. And this reminds me of what has become some of my favorite passages in Scripture. And it's 2 Timothy chapter 3, that entire chapter. And the last three verses is what I wanted to read here real quickly and really key in on verse 15, referencing little children here in verse 33 in John chapter 3, in John chapter 13. Verse 14 of 2 Timothy 3, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child, from a born-again Christian, right? Because that's what we are in Christ. We're babes in Christ at first, right? And that from a child, all right, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, because we are taught of God from the time that he bestows a new birth on us, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All Scripture, amen, all doctrine, biblical creation, the circular, flat, enclosed, stationary plane that we live on, and most importantly, salvation by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I'll say this about the Apostle Peter right quick. You know, I kick myself in the teeth a lot of times. You know, and I'm sure I'll do it again for the weeks out, probably for the evenings out, actually. You know, and Peter, he gets picked on a lot. But the fact of the matter is we do the same thing that he did. We would do the exact same thing that he did. We claim that we're not afraid. Oh no, Lord, I won't betray you, but we would. We would have denied him too. I mean,
that's right.
We would have, you know, and like Brother Larry brought up, you know, Christ is so merciful. He's so gracious, and he gives Peter three opportunities to profess his love for him after he resurrects himself. All right. Yeah. Well, you know, when he says, you know, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, Lord, I love you. He says, Peter, do you love me? He says, Lord, you know that I love you. You know, he gives him three chances because he denied him three times. And I always thought that. So I always, whenever I think about that, it's just so gracious and so loving on the part of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it is quite comforting to know that, you know, this reference to us being as little children, he's so compassionate to us, you know, because he sees what we are and he sees that we're helpless. He knows it.
Yeah.
You know, now that doesn't give the believer an opportunity to take advantage of the grace of God. Oh, no, it does quite the contrary to the believer. It makes us want to act like we got some sense even more because it's our reasonable service. All right. And with that, I'll turn it back over to you guys.
Amen. Amen. Well, this has been really wonderful tonight. Let's see. Yeah, we're a little bit after the top of the hour, but this has been really wonderful. This has been great tonight. This has been really great. John, the book of John is one of my favorite gospels in the New Testament, and a couple more chapters will be to John chapter 17, which is one of my favorite chapters in the whole Gospel of John here. And so this has been really wonderful this past month or two going through the Gospel of John, and it's a wonderful honor to labor in the field of the Lord with you brothers. And so with that, I will close with my little short scripture in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 in the Authorized King James Version, speaking of the final perseverance of the saints. Verse 5 of 1 Peter 1, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. And saints, please keep praying for Brother Carl's mom, Reba Sandage, that God would extract her from the false religious system that she's been in for a long time. And please, saints, keep praying for the Phillips family and the Roberts family as well in your private prayer time. It means a lot to all of us. Thank you, saints. Take it, Brother Carl.
Amen. Well, I'll just say thanks to Brother Ashley Kinney over there in Australia. God bless you, brother. And Brother Howard Jett that attended with us tonight. And Brother Aaron from Dark After Darkness Light. You know, this has been so awesome, just like Brother Mark said, from darkness to the light, excuse me. God bless you there, Aaron. You know, this has been a really great fellowship by the grace of God, and I just want to say say a special thank you to the Phillips family and Brother Mark Kennedy on behalf of my wife and myself. We love y'all. And before I close out tonight, I have a surprise. It actually might not be a surprise, but here's a short clip that I'm going to play, and it is from the first pregnant man in the history of the world. And it's not long, but here we go.
Now, after saying those verses to you, I want you to know I am a pregnant man. I have godly ideas and wonder in me, and miracles are waiting to be birthed through me, and the spirit of life has come upon me, and creation is in me. The hope of glory resides in me. I am.
The hope of glory resides in
him. Okay.
Wow. Are they 3 minutes apart?
Yeah.
I am a pregnant man. Okay, sorry. I just had to do that.
Hey, before you do your final thing, I'd like to read this, if you don't mind. It's called All the Elect Are Like Peter. I know I've read it before, but I'd like to read it because it's, I think, apropos for tonight. Peter denied his Lord 3 times and swore he never knew him. But he had been chosen before time began. Satan has desired to sift you, and you will turn away. But I have prayed for you, and you will be okay. Full of fear and anger, Peter denied he knew the Son of God. How many times have we denied him too? Satan has desired to sift us as well, but if Christ has prayed for us, we will never suffer hell. All we like sheep have gone astray, turning everyone to his own way, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So if the Father has given us to his Son, when asked by Christ, "Lovest thou me?" our answer can only be, "Because thou hast prayed for me." Our only hope is in the work of Christ, not because we've done anything nice. I'll turn it back to you, Carl.
Amen.
Brother Aaron, the Lord brought you into my life as well, and into this fellowship as well. And it's like Brother Larry and Brother Mark said earlier, we're always very encouraged and so excited whenever we meet somebody that God has saved and has called to faith in his Son Jesus Christ, because it's not many of us out there. We're so scattered. The church is underground, and the true church has always been underground. We're so scattered, and it is so refreshing and such a blessing of God. It truly is to be brought into mm-hmm. fellowship with other believers. And I know that you brothers agree as well.
Amen. Amen.
So with that, I'll just close with the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 35 through 40. And I'll just say to Brother Larry Phillips one more time, brother, the Lord sure has. Sure has blessed me, and he's enriched my life by bringing you into it. I've learned a lot from you.
I feel the same way, Carl. I got to interrupt you and tell you that the feeling is absolutely mutual. I always look forward to listening to your messages. They've been a great blessing to me and my family. So by the grace of God, it's like Brother Aaron says,
God's timing is wonderful in bringing us together.
Me too.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Yes, sir. And, you know, you, Brother Mark, as well, you you mean a lot to me, and I always look forward to you calling, and I always enjoy talking to you by the grace of God. So with that, enough of the love fest. I'll end with verses 35 through 40 here in the Gospel of John, chapter 6. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Amen.
Amen.
Now, all right, please, brother. So, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I'm through, guys. I've spoke my piece, and I just want to thank everyone. I also, there at the last, Rashid Razin from Pakistan joined us, as well as Alan Taylor, and I will say that Brother Alan Taylor, I've been watching your posts on Facebook, and there's an awful lot that you post that I am totally in agreement with you, I must say. So it's just wonderful the way God brings like-minded people together. That's all I have to say, guys.
All right. Well, I'll be going back. Amen. I'll be going back to work in the morning for 10 days by the grace of God, Lord willing. But I will do my best to be available for the Wednesday and Thursday fellowship. If you want to go ahead and just plan on doing those on my talk sheet, Brother Larry, if it seems to work out for you better, I mean, we can do that. Just whatever's convenient.
Yeah, it's a huge burden off of me, brother. And you notice we don't get cut off near as much. So I really appreciate your laboring to help me with that.
All right. And we'll be discussing Daisy, right? The 5 points of wheel work of discussed in Armenia, which we should be on the second point of it, I think, this week, right?
Yes. Yes.
And that's for our night.
Yeah, it's basically a conditional election rather than unconditional election, conditioned on our choice, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. And, you know, and the scripture doesn't say, you know, blessed is he who chooses thou and approaches unto thee. It says, blessed is he, you know, blessed is he whom thou choosest and causes to approach unto thee. The scripture doesn't say, without you, I can do nothing. Without you, I can do nothing. No, it says, without me, you can do nothing. So, yeah, it's not hard to dispute false doctrine. It's really not. It's go to the scriptures by the grace of God. And then Thursday, it'll be our Thursday night fellowship. And I'll leave it up to Brother Mark at this point and see whatever he wants to talk about for the Thursday night fellowship, because I think I picked the last two.
Okay, I'll let you know, Carl.
All right. Well, on behalf of Babs and myself, we sure love you guys. And by the grace of
love
God, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Have a good evening.
Sister Babs, Brother Larry, Brother Mark, Sister Rosette, and Tulip.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, Babs.